It's time for Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Sundays through Thursdays, NBC brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Hutto. The other day, an interesting discussion evolved at 79 Wistful Vista, like this.
Keep off the grass, watch out for children, no left turn, proceed with caution.
Playing policeman, McGee?
No, I'm counting up the signs I saw on my way downtown today. Between here and the Third National Bank, there must be 30 different signs telling you what to do and when to do it.
Well, my favorite one is on the bus. In case of an emergency, break the glass and pull the handle.
Wouldn't life be great stuff, Molly, if every time we had a problem hanging around, a little sign popped up telling us how to handle it?
Well, I can think of some problems that a little planning ahead would take care of almost that easily. Like the one a mother faces if dad dies unexpectedly while the youngsters are still growing up. That's when a Prudential Family Income Plan steps right in and gives her the help she needs when she needs it most.
It's a good plan, all right. And it doesn't cost too much either because it provides that extra protection only during the years the children are growing up.
This Family Income Plan of Prudential's provides the money you'd need for food, clothing, shelter, and school.
The man that has the complete story on this family income plan is your Prudential agent. Why don't you ask him to drop around and tell it to you?
And now if we hurry to 79 Wistful Vista, we'll get there just as the doorbell rings.
Oh, I hope this isn't anybody to bother McGee. He's working so hard. Come in. Oh, Dr. Gamble, do come in.
Well, how are you, my dear? And where's the little man of the house?
Oh, fine, thank you. And he's in the den, busy as a beaver. Been in there all morning working on his speech.
Good for him. If anybody's speech needs working on, it's his. That rickety rhetoric he rattles off...
No, and... doctor.
Huh?
I mean the speech he's going to deliver tomorrow night at the Civil Defense Meeting, High School Auditorium. And seriously, doctor, please be there and tell all your friends. This is so important to McGee.
Now, wait a minute. You mean the dedication speech for the new air raid siren?
Yes.
I thought the school principal, Harry Willoughby, was supposed to be the one that delivered.
Well, he was, doctor, but I went down to the civil defense people, and I talked them into letting McGee do it.
Oh, you're a mighty fine, loyal wife.
Well, my goodness, Mr. Willoughby gets all the honors.
True, he does.
Let them give somebody else some glory. After all, McGee went through plenty during the last war. He was block warden, you know.
I know.
And don't think that was easy. 4 years. 4 years, mind you, people banging on our door at all hours of the day and night yelling, "Hey, I got a problem. Is the blockhead in?" And then running away laughing like nobody had been there just 5 minutes before with the same corny gag.
I remember it all very well. I treated at least 5 or 6 of those jokers for bruises and contusions after McGee caught them at the corner.
Good.
And I treated McGee once and twice, too, when he caught jokers bigger than he was.
Oh. Well, he did work hard all through the war, though, doctor, and I just decided it was about time he got a little recognition.
And Willoughby's probably glad to get out of it anyhow. He must have made 1,000 speeches.
That's what the committee said. Said they'd explain things to him and they were sure he wouldn't mind. After all, he still has the honor of accepting the siren for the school, and he's going to have the fun of turning it on and off for the practice drill, so... Shh, here comes McGee. I don't want him to know that I had anything to do with the committee choosing him, so... Hello, dearie. How's the speech coming?
Hmm?
The speech. How are you getting along with the speech?
Oh, that. I haven't started writing the speech yet. Still working on the note.
Note?
Yeah, to Willoughby. To cool him off. You know, keep him from getting sore. I want to explain that the committee thought it over and decided to pick a more worthy incipient of the honor, me, and I had nothing to do with them doing it. They just done it.
Well, I guess you could say that.
Huh? Hi, Fatso.
Hi.
I didn't see you standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And how that happened, I'll never know. I guess I'm more worried about making an enemy of Willoughby than I thought.
I know what you mean. Harry Willoughby is the head man at the Elks, Molly, and if he decided to make it tough on McGee, he can do it. He could even have your pool cue revoked, you know, sonny.
Oh, he wouldn't do anything like that. I mean, he's such a nice, quiet, refined type of man.
And that's the worst kind. When them quiet, refined guys blow up, boy...
Oh, don't give it a thought. The committee promised me... I mean, well, I'm sure Mr. Willoughby...
The committee? What's this about the committee?
Oh, committee? What?
They just called while you were busy in the den, just before you came out.
Well, what'd they want?
Want?
Yeah.
Well, Molly talked to them. What did they want, my dear?
Oh, my turn again, huh? Yeah. Well, they just called to remind you of the time of the meeting tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And, they said to be sure to be there on time. Yes, that's it. Oh, and not to worry about Mr. Willoughby. That's what they said, yes. They'll explain things, and he won't mind a bit.
That's right, McGee. And they said that
Never mind, I can take it from here, Doctor.
Okay.
They said, once we remind Mr. Willoughby of Mr. McGee's fine war record as block warden, getting up at all hours of the night, mm-hmm. going out into the inky blackness of the unknown, alone, unafraid,
yeah.
he'll understand, they said, for here, in McGee, we have found a man truly worthy of this honor.
Hooray!
Oh, stop it, Doctor.
Okay.
Now, McGee, you stop worrying about Mr. Willoughby and get to work on that speech. Because you know how long it takes you to spell those hard words you put in your speeches, and you've only got till tomorrow night to...
There's more fun with the McGees shortly. Until recent years, misconceptions prompted many to feel that a diagnosis of heart disease was a death sentence. But today, thanks to medical science and the educational work of the Heart Association, we're learning that most people with heart disease can work and lead happy lives. But the real answer to heart disease lies in heart research and community heart programs, which can be expanded through your continued support of the Heart Fund. The eventual control of heart diseases through the development of new methods of prevention and cure is the goal of the American Heart Association. The month of February is Heart Month, a time when you are asked to support vitally needed research in the cause and prevention of heart diseases. Just how important this campaign is can be quickly recognized when you consider that this number one health menace accounted for 800,000 deaths last year, more than all other causes combined, including accidents. Remember to give to your local Heart Association. Help your heart fund, help your heart.
Yes, Mabel, tomorrow night at the high school auditorium. He's working on his speech now. And
Molly! Molly!
I'll have to go, Mabel. He's yelling for something again. Probably has his pencil over his ear and doesn't know which ear. Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
Molly, where are you?
In the living room. What do you need now?
Oh, never mind. I found it.
Well, thank goodness. I'll be glad when he gets finished. All day long it's been, where's the pencil sharpener? You got an eraser? How do you spell siren? You know, the air raid kind, not the kind of siren that winks at you and says, hi, baby, how about us going out on the town tonight?
Love to, daughter, but I'm already spooked for.
Good heavens, Mr. Oldtimer.
Well, that's me, daughter, the Gregory Peck of the rocking chair set. Just cutting through the alley and thought I'd look in. You practicing for a play?
No, it's McGee's speech. He's making a speech at the civil defense meeting tomorrow night.
Speech? At the defense meeting? I thought I read where Harry Willoughby was supposed to make the
speech. He was, but after the committee thought it over, McGee's fine record as air raid warden and all, they changed their minds and switched the honor to him. I was the one...
Hey, Molly, you think I ought to start off by saying fellow defenders of this great nation are just high, old-timer?
Hello there, Johnny. Just talking to daughter here. Tells me you're going to make the big speech at the air raid meeting tomorrow night instead of Willoughby.
Yep. I was chose for the honor on account of because...
Well, I hope it turns out all right, son. I bet Willoughby is mad enough to bust.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about old Willoughby, too. Of course, I didn't do anything. The committee itself decided to change their mind and pick me, but he probably blames me for the whole...
Oh, McGee, don't give it a thought. I'm sure Mr. Willoughby is delighted. He realizes you deserve the honor, and he's probably very happy for you.
Boy, he can sure make trouble for me if he wants to.
Sure can.
Mr. Willoughby isn't like that, McGee. You know that. He's quiet and refined, a perfect gentleman.
No, them's the worst kind, daughter.
Ah!
Reminds me of a thing like this that happened to Papa one time, kids, when they laid the cornerstone for the county courthouse.
Yeah?
The mayor was supposed to make the speech. Had it all wrote out. Rented a top hat and everything. But Papa got to the committee and aced the mayor out of it. And when the big day rolled around, Papa made the speech.
He did, huh? Was the mayor sore? What happened? Did the mayor get sore? How'd he act, the mayor?
He acted like he was very happy for him, Johnny.
Yeah?
Shook Papa's hand, slapped him on the back, and gave him a great big smile.
You see there?
kept smiling at Papa all the time. But he smiled with his teeth shut, like this.
Uh-oh.
Yes, sir. He introduced Papa to the crowd, helped him up on the speaker's platform, smiled once more, like this, and stepped down. Then he poured a can of gasoline on the floor and set fire to the platform. Lit a fuse and blew up the courthouse, dynamited the dam and flooded the south end of town, saw the railroad bridge in two, poisoned the water supply and run off and joined the Foreign Legion.
My gosh, all because he didn't get to make the speech.
That's the silliest.
I don't know. I don't think Willoughby is the kind of a guy that would join the Foreign Legion, though.
Well, it's them quiet, gentlemanly type fellas you gotta watch, son. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if right now that fella is planning some kind of a thing to...
I'll get it. Come in. Mr. Willoughby, come in. Do come in. This is indeed an honor. Dearie, take Mr. Willoughby's coat.
No thanks, McGee.
No use trying to be friendly, Molly. It's just like I've been
saying. I only have a minute. Yeah. I just stopped by to wish you luck on your speech tomorrow, McGee. I had mine all prepared when the change came through, but... Well, those things happen, and I'm so glad to see the honor go to one of our finer citizens.
Oh? Well, that's so nice of you.
The committee told me of your husband's wonderful work as block warden in this area during the last war, Mrs. McGee, and I'm proud to step aside for a brother-in-arms in this civil defense work of ours. My hand, McGee.
Dearie, take his hand.
Oh, yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Willoughby.
Well, I must run along. See you tomorrow night at the dedication. Good luck, McGee. Goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Goodbye. Willoughby.
So long, Willie.
Now, there you are, McGee. A perfect gentleman. He couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, what'd I tell you? Mad as a wet hen.
What?
Trying to hide it under a pleasant interior, but he ain't fooling me.
Why, the man was as sweet as could be.
Yep, you better watch him, Johnny.
Did you see how he smiled, Molly? Through his teeth, like this. He's got something up his sleeve.
Just the way that Mayor smiled at Papa when he set fire to the platform, blew up the courthouse, dynamited the dam, poisoned the water supply,
yeah.
Joined the Foreign Legion.
Shut up!
We'll say goodnight to Fibber and Molly in a moment. This is John Wald, hoping your Sunday has been a relaxing and enjoyable one, and with a suggestion for the busy week just ahead. Why not cheer those tiring workday hours along by staying in tune with NBC's daytime lineup? In the morning, for example, you'll hear Mary Margaret McBride, your favorite woman commentator for many years, as she brings you items of interest on a wide range of fascinating subjects, from world affairs to household hints. It's a Monday through Saturday NBC feature that combines entertainment and information in the refreshing, informal Mary Margaret McBride manner. And among the other morning favorites, there's the famous author of The Power of Positive Thinking, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale, who brings to listeners his expert guidance on spiritual and personal problems important to all of us. Then in the afternoon, dramatic entertainment with your longtime friends like Just Plain Bill, Stella Dallas, and Young Widder Brown. And for afternoon laughs, the delightful new NBC serial, Hotel for Pets. Yes, tomorrow and every weekday, it's the best in listening here on NBC.
Hello, what? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, goodbye.
Who was that?
The old timer. He said Willoughby just went in a gasoline station. He couldn't hear the conversation, but he'll follow him when he comes out.
What?
I tell you, Molly, you can scoff if you wanna, but that guy's up to something. He's got me worried. You wait and see what happens tomorrow night.
I guess I'll have to.
Yeah, we all will, won't we?
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly is an NBC Radio Network production transcribed, with Bill Thompson as the old-timer, Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble, and Charlie Steele as Mr. Willoughby. Well, what trick do you suppose that rat Willoughby will pull? This is John Wald advising you to tune in and see. Good night.
Join the Great Gildersleeve for more fun in Summerfield tonight on the NBC Radio Network.